Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Vote counting information system at KPU reaches 40.83%. Jokowi Maruf still leading. Vice President Yusuf Kalla witnesses the signing of 23 MOUs between Indonesia and China. Now the news in detail. Temporary vote counting data for the 2019 presidential election uploaded by Indonesian General Election Commission KPU through the vote counting information system, or locally called SITUN, on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock West Indonesian time has reached 40.57% of polling station. Monitoring from the KPU's page, SITUN's data is showing Jokowi Maruf failed to obtain 56.28%, while Prabowo Sandi's 43.72%. This SITUN data is a scan of C1 form in all polling stations and still being counted. Vice President Yusuf Kalla witnessed the signing of 23 memoranda of understanding between companies from Indonesia and China at the Business Forum event held on the sidelines of Belt Road International Cooperation Conference 2 in Beijing, China on Friday. In his remarks, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the partnership between Indonesia and China would be greater through the relationship B2B than G2G. To overcome the problem in the investment licensing process, he stated that the Indonesian government had implemented an online system to accelerate and facilitate reduction of the bureaucratic change at the central and regional levels. In front of hundreds of Indonesian and Chinese business people, he also stressed that the governor and regions or mayors have given good opportunities to foreign investors. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati encourages the involvement of university in building infrastructure. In her perspective, academics play a major role in accelerating the development. This was stated by Minister of Sri Mulyani as a keynote speaker at the 2019 Infrastructure Summit entitled Empowering University for Continuous PPP Infrastructure Development in Regional Government at Pajajaran University in Bandung, West Java on Friday. She views that the university has intellectuals who are able to develop quality and inclusive infrastructure from various aspects such as engineering, law, environment, and social, economic, and financial spheres. In addition to contributing thoughts and ideas, the university also has a role in evaluating the construction of the infrastructure. The government of Indonesia, through the Minister of Agriculture, ensures that the supply of chili and salads in some areas across Indonesia is stable and sufficient for consumption needs during the month of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri. The prices of salads and chilies are predicted to be normal. This was stated by Director General of Horticulture at the Minister of Agriculture, Suwandi, on the sidelines of the Security and Supply Stabilization meeting of price for various chili and onions to welcome Ramadan and Idul Fitri 2019 in Bogor, West Java on Friday. He explained that the guarantee is coincided with the harvest of salads and chili, which will take place in major centers such as Brebes, Nganjuk, Demak, Grobogan, to Bima from May to June 2019. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia initiated the installments of the APEC Impact Fund to develop micro, small, and medium enterprises at APEC Business Advisory Council. The meeting was held in Jakarta on 23rd until 26th April 2019. Members of the Business Policy Council Indonesia, Sinta Kamdani, at a press conference in Jakarta on Friday said that the fund is provided for the micro, small and medium enterprises to develop their businesses and have a positive impact on the social community. Sinta views that the initiation is expected to get support from the all effort countries, both developing and developed countries. All support is expected to open up an alternative funding method that is blended finance so that Indonesia is not burdened. Rating and Investment Information Corporation, RNI, has affirmed Indonesia's sovereign credit rating at BBB has a stable outlook as announced on 26 April 2019. In response to the statement, Governor Bank Indonesia Perry Warjio stated that the assessment of RNI demonstrates that the policy mix instituted by the Bank Indonesia and the government is sound and is expected to strengthen the confidence of foreign investors over Indonesian resilience and economic prospects. According to a statement from Bank Indonesia received by Antara News Agency on Friday, there are some key factors that support the decision. First, Indonesian economies growing at a solid pace. Second, the fiscal deficit to the gross domestic product GDP ratio lessened from the previous year, while the government debt to GDP ratio remains low. Third, Indonesian economic resilience to external shocks is maintained, supported by the government and Bank Indonesian policies emphasizing macroeconomic stability. The last item, men's doubles Kevin Sanjaya and Marcus Gidon successfully advanced to the semifinal of the 2019 Badminton Asia Championship after conquering Han Chengzhen Kai So Hadon from China with a score 21-13, 19-21, 21-16 at Huan Sports Center on Friday. Thus, Kevin and Marcus improved their record meeting against Han Su to 2-2. After losing the last two meetings at the 2018 French Open and China Open 2018. In the semifinals, Kevin and Marcus will meet Japanese players Takeshi Kamura and Keigo Sonoda. Meanwhile, two Indonesian representatives have qualified for the semifinals. One of them is women doubles team Rizky Amelia Pradikta and Della Destiara Haris. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first news comes from Bandung, West Java. The West Java provincial government collaborates with cloud computing company Amazon Web Service, AWS, owned by the richest person in the world today, Jeff Bezos, will build data center technology and as an effort to realize a digital province. West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil in Bandung on Thursday said the world's largest e-commerce technology company was interested in investing in West Java this year. According to Ridwan Kamil, the value of Amazon's investment reaches tens of trillions of rupiah. He added, Amazon was ready to build data center technology in three areas of West Java as the Asia-Pacific backbone. Ridwan Kamil has asked Amazon to build 4.0 institutes to educate millennials and Generation Z. The technology of Amazon's data center will also serve the startup needs of e-commerce businesses, and so far, the Asia-Pacific data center backbone is in Singapore. The next news comes from Bogor, West Java. The Bogor Botanical Gardens, West Java, under the management of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, exhibited dozens of new types of plants during the press tour event on Thursday. There are three new types of plants, namely begonia, kemuning, and hoya. Acting head of the LIPI Plant Conservation and Botanical Garden Center, R. Hendrian, said the disclosure of new types of plants contributed to the conservation of plants. It also provided a new understanding of the diversity of Indonesian plant species and their resources. Press tour activities were also carried out by visiting the Bogor Botanical Gardens Herbarium facility, which collected 50,000 preserved plant specimens, mostly in dry form. The latest news comes from Gianyar, Bali. The 5th Ubud Food Festival, UFF, will take place from April 26 to 28, 2019 in Ubud, Gianyar District, Bali. This year it is themed Spice Up the World and is determined to make Indonesian culinary known worldwide. The founder and director of UFF, Janet Denevi, at a press conference on Thursday in Ubud, Gianyar, said the festival was supported by the Ministry of Tourism and explored the best ways to make Indonesian culinary identities more known. UFF, which is one of the leading food festivals in Indonesia, will present more than 100 speakers, ranging from cooks or chefs, food recipe writers, culinary experts, gastronomic activists, as well as national and international culinary actors from Australia who have lived for a long time in Ubud, Bali. Listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RI, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Today in History. We begin today in history with information about the independence of Togo. Togo is a country located on West African coast. In the beginning of the 15th century, Togo was occupied by Portugal. In addition, from the 17th to the 18th centuries, Togo became the center of slave trading activity so that it was known as the slave coast. In the beginning of 1858, Germany occupied Togo. When World War I broke out in 1914, Togo was divided into two territories, namely the Eastern Territory, which was controlled by France, and Western Territory. The Eastern Territory of Togo, which was controlled by France, proclaimed its independence under the name the Republic of Togo. We continue to the next information about the Indonesian Correctional Day. April the 27th, 1995 was one of the most historic moments for the development of criminal justice system in Indonesia. On the day, the concept about inmates' empowerment based on the correctional system was consented. The concept was the realization of idea about correctional system initiated in 1963 by Saharjo, who was Indonesian former Minister of Justice and Human Rights. The implementation of the correctional system was affirmed through the issuance of Act No. 12/1995 about correctional system. Through the Correctional Act, the effort to accomplish the vision of correctional system based on Pancasila, the five basic principles of Indonesian society have been stronger. The last information is about the death of former Afghan President Sardar Muhammad Daud. Former Afghan President Sardar Muhammad Daud was toppled down and murdered in a coup attempt led by pro-communist rebels on April the 27th, 1998. The incident marked the beginning of political crisis in Afghanistan involving the intervention of the Soviet Union's troops within less than 2 years. Daud led Afghanistan from 1973 until his death in 1978. He also overthrew the former leader of Afghanistan, namely Muhammad Zahir Shah. Daud's relations with the Soviet Union got more awful due to his attitude against communism. The killing of the renowned Afghan Communist Party's leader in the beginning of April 1978 was the reason of the coup attempt plotted against Muhammad Daud. That was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
pernah terlintas untuk tinggalkan kamu jauh dariku kasihku, karena aku milikmu, kamu milikku, separuh nyawaku hidup bersamamu. Berdua kita lewati, meski hujan badai takkan berhenti,
takkan berhenti.
Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga kita teman bahagia. Pernah ku lupa kamu yang ku cinta, dari ujung kaki hingga ujung kepala. Aku ingin kamu, kamu yang ku mau, belahan jiwaku, kamu masa depanku. Berdua kita lewati, meski hujan badai takkan berhenti. Hidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga.
Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The topic for today is Ministry of Agriculture develops swamp farming. The Ministry of Agriculture of the Republic of Indonesia has budgeted 3.7 trillion rupiahs this year to develop swamp farming through Save the Swamp, Prosper the Farmers program, abbreviated SERASI in Indonesian. The SERASI program budget was prepared by the Directorate General of Agricultural Infrastructure and Facilities of 2.5 trillion rupiahs for processing swamp land, and the Directorate General of Food Crops worth 1.2 trillion rupiahs for production facilities. Director General of Agricultural Infrastructure and Facilities Sarwo Edi explained the Ministry of Agriculture set a target of 400,000 hectares of land by 2019. This was determined after going through the validation process of prospective farmers with a focus on three provinces. During a discussion on the Agricultural Journalists Forum, themed a matching program to increase productivity in Jakarta on Wednesday, he revealed the three provinces are South Sumatra, South Kalimantan, and South Sulawesi. Sarwo Edi said that the SERASI program had shown good results in the field, including agricultural productivity increase to 6.5 tons of dry grain harvest per hectare in Tanah Laut, South Kalimantan, from 3 tons previously. Meanwhile, the Directorate General of Food Crops will handle the needs of agricultural production facilities and guidance. 1.2 trillion rupiahs will be used to provide seeds, dolomite fertilizer, and biological fertilizers. Secretary of the Directorate General of Food Crops, Bambang Pamuji, explained that the ministry provides assistance to participating farmers in the Serasi program in the form of seeds, herbicides, biological fertilizers, and dolomite fertilizers. Meanwhile, the expert staff of the Minister of Agriculture, Professor Dedi Nur Syamsi, expressed optimism that the Serasi program could run well. He compared it to the 1 million hectares peat program in the new order. According to Professor Dedi Nur Syamsi, swampland was environmentally friendly and safe from fire hazards. He explained the difference is this program utilizes non-peat land mineral soil. In addition, the results have also been proven in the field. Listener, that was my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Arari was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
West Sumatra has natural wealth and its culture is typical and unique. West Sumatra also presents one of the best tourism destinations, namely Pasumpahan Island, which is located in the waters of Bungus Teluk Kabung Sub-District, Padang City, West Sumatra. Pasumpahan Island, with an area of 5 hectares, has a stretch of white sand along its coast, beautiful waves, and clear waters consisting of 3 color degradation. It is clear on the beach, green in the middle, and bluish to the middle of the ocean. All of these phenomena are the main attraction of this beach. In addition, Pasumpahan Island also has preserved coral reefs. The calm atmosphere is also the main attraction of this island. Strolling around, tourists can spoil their eyes by watching the natural scenery around the island. In addition, the island is also a shelter and gathering of fishermen. Tourists can also watch fishing activities such as fishing or netting. The facilities in Pasumpahan Island are quite complete, such as benches, bathrooms, several water sport rides, volleyball courts, camping, and musola or prayer rooms. Besides taking pictures and snorkeling on Pasumpahan Island, tourists can also climb a 100-meter hill on the north side of the island. Seeing the view from the top of the hill is truly an experience that will not definitely be forgotten. To visit Pasumpahan Island, there are two ways, namely by being accompanied by tour guide and backpacker. The first way is that you just come to the beach in Bungus Sub-District for a one-day tour to Pasumpahan Island. The price is around 200 until 350,000 rupiahs, depending on the facilities obtained. The second way is that the tourists can go to Sei Pisang, about 20 kilometers from Padang City. The road to get there is quite easy. Tourists just follow the direction of the road to Painan. After arriving at Sei Pisang, many fishing boats can be rented to Pasumpahan Island. It costs around 35,000 rupiahs to 50,000 rupiahs per person. The travel time is approximately 15 minutes. The cost to enter the island is 15,000 rupiahs. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pasumpahan Island from West Sumatra. I'm Putri Safira Adela, through the voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tertawa dan menangis hingga akhir rumah. dua, tiga. Tapi ternyata cinta kita tak semudah yang kita kira. Ada saat ku berpaling, tak sengaja melupakanmu. Tapi hatiku selalu untukmu. Denganmu ku temukan cahaya hatiku. Denganmu ku temukan cinta sejatiku. Ada cinta dan ada benci. Kita tertawa dan menangis hingga akhir umurku nanti. Kau tak pernah terganti, hanya kau yang bisa.
Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to miscellany. After successfully launching Kipin ATM, pendidikan.id launched the latest service, namely Kipin School. Kipin itself stands for Kiosk Pintar or Smart Kiosk, a service intended for elementary school students to high school students to support digital-based learning systems and examinations. The latest service called Kipin School is a downloadable application on smartphones or tablets, which provides 2013 curriculum-based full school subject matter. At Kipin School, there are thousands of school textbooks published by the Ministry of Education and Culture, school lesson videos, tryout training, and literacy reading. There is also pendidikan or education tryout online that provides facilities for schools so they can organize their own daily tasks and online-based exams. In addition to supporting DigiSchool, this service also has other advantages. Schools can leave the paper system, both in subject matter and exam systems. This will make work efficient, big savings for schools every month, also more environmentally friendly. The presence of Kipin School can also save costs, time, and energy of students and educators. Director of Pendidikan.id Santoso Sura said with the presence of Kipin School, students did not need to bother carrying many books, buying books and facing confusion if there was material that had not been understood from the teacher's explanation. Plus, the online exam feature that allows schools to give assignments, daily thesis, midterm thesis, and final tests. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Malu, aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding, menatapku curiga, seakan penuh tanya, sedang apa di sini? Menanti pacar jawabku. Takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah.
di sekolah,
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I would like to present you one of Indonesian keroncong songs entitled Jauh di Mata, Dekat di Hati, which means far from sight but close to heart. The song depicts the emotion of couples who have long-distance relationship. In spite of being separated by distance, the person whom we love remains in our heart. Jauh di Mata, Dekat di Hati is one of Indonesian original keroncong songs. The song describes a person who longs for the arrival of his or her boyfriend or girlfriend and hopes that he or she will not forget the promise her or she made. This song was sung by Sukardi, a talented Indonesian singer. In 1984, Sukardi participated in a keroncong competition at Radio Republik Indonesia. After winning the competition, he became more popular in keroncong music industry. One of his albums is entitled Masa Kemasa. He collaborated with Indonesian keroncong singer named Toto Salmon on the album. Listener, let's listen to the song entitled Jauh di Mata, Dekat di Hati by Sukardi. Enjoy the song.
hati.
Of Indonesia.
Sampingmu tiada kata. akan berpisah lagi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sempat ku tak lagi percaya artinya cinta, luka yang tak hilang tinggal begitu saja. Namun keajaiban cinta bertemu dengannya, waktu dan cintanya sembuhkan luka. Dan kini kau bawakan bahagia setiap saat. Terus teringat tanpamu ku tak kuat. Ku yakin mencintaimu sempurna, sayangimu selamanya ku telah terikat. Ku tak lagi sendiri melawan luka yang dalam, karena kau telah datang hapus semua tentangnya. Beruntungku bisa kembali rasakan cinta, hanyalah dirimu sembuhkan luka. Dan kini kau bawakan bahagia Setiap saat terus teringat, tanpamu ku tak kuat. Ku yakin mencintaimu sempurna, sayangimu selamanya, ku telah terikat. Berjanjilah kepadaku, kau dan aku kan bersatu. Takkan ada yang memisahkan kita.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.